Hello, welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Amanda Hayes. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Anna. Hello, everyone.
And this week we've been reading Simon the Fiddler by Paulette Giles. But first, book news. And there's not a huge amount of news this week, Amanda, but I loved this story in the New York Times about how to sell books in 2020. The headline is "Put them near the toilet paper," which is so on trend, isn't it? Really. But it was quite interesting. It was all about how in the States, the big box stores, which is things like Walmart and Target and Costco, have been really selling a lot of books, and partly because the bookstores have had to close, which is a bit unlike Adelaide. We've been quite lucky. They've stayed open generally throughout, considered essential services. And also Amazon had reduced its deliveries of books to focus on more essential was considered more essential items. And so these stores have filled the gap, I suppose.
So they didn't have them there already, is that what
they
I
did,
understand?
But they've increased their orders, I gather. So they've been selling more. And so what would happen is people who haven't been able to go to many stores, but they've had to go into, let's say, Walmart or Target, the few that have remained open, and while they're in there grabbing their toilet paper or their groceries, they've, and obviously with kids at home or working from home, being in lockdown, they've spotted jigsaw puzzles and books along the way and thought, well, I'll stock up on those. And so that's what has driven the rise in sales. But it's also an interesting article that talks about the importance of the Walmart and the Target type of stores for publishers. And it's more commercial fiction and self-help books and so on, not so much translated or literary fiction, but just how important it is to get your book into those stores because of the sheer quantity. So if they order one book, they'll order sort of 30,000, which, you know, for a lot of books, they might only ever print 50,000.
Great.
So it's hugely important. And Costco has a book buyer called Penny, and every month she'll select her pick. So she'll designate a book as a Penny's pick, and that has a massive bump effect.
A bit like
in
the
sales.
Oprah effect.
Yeah, the Oprah book club effect, Penny's picks. Yeah, it was just interesting. So I thought that was sort of a state of play at the moment, and of course we always want to support the local independent bookstores, and so they were speculating about will people get too much into the habit of shopping for books at these bigger stores like Walmart or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I
think it'll be just an ongoing, you know, you've always been able to buy books there, so that will just continue. But I think people do love a bookshop. So
I agree. Yeah, I don't know, but I can't see how that could ultimately detract from the clientele of a bookshop.
No.
And I hope not.
Interestingly as well, this week I just saw that in the UK they've released their figures of 2019 book sales, which had increased by, I think, 3 or 4% in hard copy. So they've had a huge year up until 2020. And so there's certainly the trend has been that book sales have been growing, which is good to hear. So, yes, so interesting books and toilet paper story. as long as the books don't become the toilet paper.
Exactly.
And then on to our book of the week, Simon the Fiddler by Paulette Giles. So Paulette Giles is an American author. She was born in Missouri, but she lives now in near San Antonio in Texas on a ranch. Interestingly, in her past, she worked in Canada and she learnt some of the indigenous languages of Canada as part of her job there. And I think we talked about this. Did we do News of the World together?
You did it with Annie. I've read it, but you did it with Annie.
Yeah. And so she's had an interesting sort of past. And she also, as I think one of her hobbies is singing. So she has a good ear, and I think that shows up in her work. She has
that makes
ear.
Sense.
She obviously has an ear for languages and music, and that often goes together with good writing, I think. And she's written several novels and a memoir, and is also a poet. And more recently, her novel News of the World in 2016 was a finalist for the National Book Award. And I read this, I think about 2 years ago, and I really loved it. So that was a book about an older man travelling, I think set in Texas, and his job is to read the news to people in different towns in the aftermath of the Civil War. And he's asked to take a girl home to her aunt and uncle after she was held hostage and kidnapped by some Kiowa people. And so he doesn't really want to do that. She doesn't speak. Well, she's not, I think from memory, she doesn't speak at all. And that's partly because she's been traumatized. And it's just like an odd couple relationship. But it's this very restrained, beautifully written story that sort of took me by surprise. Yeah,
I absolutely loved that book.
Wasn't it just sublime? Yeah,
I just picked it up because I loved the cover. I thought, oh, this looks interesting, and had no expectations and absolutely loved it.
Yes, it was, and it was a very much loved book, I think. Apart from being highly acclaimed and, as I said, finalist for the National Book Award, people just have a real affection for that book, News of the World, and it's being made into a movie with Tom Hanks.
Terrific.
Which I think will be great.
Yeah.
And along the way they encounter a musical group which includes a character called Simon who is, surprise, surprise, a fiddler, so which I had forgotten that. But,
oh, me too.
But never mind, it doesn't matter. So this brings us to the latest release by Paulette Giles, which is Simon the Fiddler, which came out a few weeks ago. So focusing on Simon, and he is a 23-year-old young man who has been avoiding, so it's set just at the end of the Civil War, and he's been avoiding being conscripted into the army because he, or into one or the other of the armies, but it's mainly the Confederates, isn't it?
They're where in the south,
down in the south. And he, because he looks so young, he's sort of got away with it. But towards the end of the war, he does get signed up, but he then ends up in the regimental army band, which is actually made up of a mix of soldiers. And so, because he plays the violin. And so the band then puts on this concert for the army sort of generals and their families. And at the concert, he sees a young woman called Doris who is working as a governess for this very sort of mean colonel. And he falls in love with her at first sight and makes it his mission to sort of find her, because she then goes off to with the family to San Antonio, as he discovers, in Texas. So his mission is to sort of be reunited with her. The war ends, he survives that, plot spoiler, and he sticks with the band, and they start traveling around looking for work and sort of working in saloons and bars. Yeah. And you know, it's a tough life, and he strikes up correspondence with Doris, and it goes on from there. So that's the premise, and the reviews have been very good. So that's, I've just been sort of glancing at them overnight, and most of them, to be fair, say, the ones that are comparing it, say it's not perhaps quite as strong as News of the World, but on the whole the reviewers seem to like it, and it's that setting of Texas and the post-war and the discussion of music and so on. What did you think, Amanda?
Okay, well, interestingly, normally I do read reviews before I discuss a book with you, Anna, but this time I didn't, because I went down a bit of a rabbit hole researching about the Civil War and what had happened, because it was something I knew little about. So anyway, in answer to your question,
yeah, I didn't know much about it either.
Enjoyed the setting of the book, and I loved the fact that it made me delve into the history of the war, and also I started watching these endless YouTube videos about music during the war, and that was really interesting, all these sort of fiddling kind of tunes, and I won't sing.
Yeah. There's sort of a Scottish-Irish background, so he's a white man.
Yes.
I couldn't quite tell if the whole band was all white, but
because Texas used to be owned by Mexico. And so there was a group of Hispanic sort of local people that lived there for hundreds of years. So one of them
is Hispanic.
Yeah. The others was there was a young Irish lad.
Patrick.
And one Patrick and one other. I can't remember.
Believe I'm remembering these names. But they play things like the Irish, not the jig. Well, they play the Irish jigs sort of, and the sort of upbeat music, and then also yeah. some of the melancholy songs, but also songs like Cotton Eye Joe and yes. some other ones, which I think might have come from black people singing them on plantations originally. So the music is quite interesting in
itself. It's really interesting. And the other thing, so in the band, there are four people. There's the fiddler, a guy that plays a whistle, Patrick plays a type of drum, and Doroteo, the Hispanic guy, plays a guitar. And so when you're listening to the music from this period, you really do hear those instruments. Mm. So that was interesting. But back to the book itself, I didn't love the story. I was trying to think why, and I just didn't really have any empathy or feeling for Simon.
Neither did I.
He just left me cold. And so to the point, I just didn't really, I wasn't invested in what happened to him. I don't know what it was about him. He was a bit arrogant. So that side of the book I didn't love, but in terms of the setting, I thought that was fascinating. So I had a bit of a hot and cold feeling towards this book. I was very happy to read it. I wanted to know what happened, but I didn't really care.
No.
So you felt the same, did you?
I felt the same, and I bailed, Amanda.
Oh, you bailed? You know what, Anna? I didn't say anything to you, but I wondered if you would bail on this one. I just had a feeling it might not be your kind of book.
Well, the interesting thing was I wouldn't have thought News of the World would be my kind of book because it is – there's a meditative pace to it, and you'd think from that premise of News of the World, am I really going to love a book about a man on horseback sort of plodding along through Texas in the aftermath of the Civil War? And yet that was this incredibly comforting
I love the way she wrote that. It was so poetic.
I think a lot tighter.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was meditative sort of mirrored that horseback journey and it just was such – there was always a sense, and I think there is the same sense in this book, that things are going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
And so there's a very comforting tone in her writing, and I did get that tone in this book.
And the main character, whose name I've forgotten, the newsreader, he was
– Captain Kidd.
Captain Kidd, that's right. I mean, he was such an upstanding man who was determined to do the right thing, even if it put him at an inconvenience. And so you couldn't help but love him, I thought. So that really propelled that book for me.
He was a great, lovable, grumpy old man, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Whereas Simon, ho-hum.
Yeah, I was the same. I was too ho-hum.
Yeah.
And what happened was, but again, it's interesting why you don't get on with a book, because when I bail on a book, I do really stop and think about, should I continue on, or if I'm bailing on it, why, especially with an author like Paulette Giles, who I really admire, why am I not going to finish this book? And I think with this one, first of all, there is the slow pace. And as we say, News of the World had that, but it just really hooked me in. But this one, the problem was there was the slow pace, and I didn't care what happened, as you found with Simon. And I found Simon, all we know really is he's a fiddler. He has a temper, which he tries to keep in check. He's had perhaps a tough upbringing, and that he decides to be with Doris.
Yeah.
So I found that a bit presumptuous. We don't really know what she thinks about it. We might discover in her correspondence, but I never got to that part of it. But she's simply, it seemed to me at the beginning, she was simply there as the object of desire for him. And I found that a bit superficial and also in this day and age, a bit sort of male-centered in a way that's not very relevant.
She didn't really come to life either, except through his eyes.
But I suppose importantly as well, there was no tension between them because they never had a relationship.
No.
So it's just him deciding that he wants to chase after her. And there's, it's hard to care if they get together because they've never had any kind of relationship between each other. So there's no tension there. So there's nothing there really there was nothing that grabbed me. And the only other characters are the band members. And to me, they merged into one. I didn't quite differentiate. Some reviewers have said they all have their distinct personalities. And I could see that they did, but there were sort of four or five of them. And I wasn't bothering to keep track of
I had to write down who was who.
Oh, no. Yeah. See, that's all
one of them
hard.
Kept quoting poetry, which was really irritating.
Yeah, no, and it's no. That's just no. Doris, you don't really get to know her. And all we know is she's working for this nasty colonel who seemed very one-dimensional to me. And she was sort of almost like a damsel in distress sort of figure.
Yeah, I think
it's just too easy.
Back to some things I did like about it was, even though Doris didn't particularly come to life, she did highlight the plight of women. So Doris was Irish and she was over there as an indentured governess. So she had to stick with this family for 3 years. It was pretty tough. She didn't get treated very well. So you had a bit of an insight into that. But the other thing, probably the thing that surprised me because I didn't know. And when I went and, you know, down this rabbit hole of looking at all the musical songs, what I really enjoyed was the fact that music was so central, because Robert E. Lee, who was the commander of the Confederate States Army, so the southern side, he quoted this, or I'm quoting him, "I don't believe we can have an army without music."
Wow.
So isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
And so The use of music was, or there were several uses. One was almost like a battle cry to get, you know, them to go off. And there was as a release of tension and to get the men singing and in just relaxing and sort of forgetting about the day. So they saw music as an absolutely vital part of the war effort.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
I didn't know that. Mm. But, yeah, so I didn't connect with it. And I think the other factor is the context that we're reading it at the moment in the sort of here and now. So we've had COVID lockdown. So that's been a period where the news is very demanding and pressing. And so a book has to be really good to keep us engaged in it, I think, at the moment. And I know anecdotally a lot of people have found it harder to read, interestingly, or just a lot of people have found it harder to concentrate on books than normal. I haven't found that too much, but it is certainly perhaps my patience is even shorter. Mm. So that's funny, you predicted that I wouldn't have the patience for this one. And also in the news that we've had the Black Lives Matter movement, and that's raising up a lot of issues that has certainly speaking for myself, has refocused my interest on hearing from other voices and diverse stories, non-white authors and characters, not to the exclusion of white authors, obviously, but it's just that sort of been a focus of my interest in those recent few weeks or months. And I'm really looking for a book to surprise me a bit as well. And this didn't.
No.
Even if you'd had maybe that his love interest was another man or something, just make it something interesting.
Yeah.
And also I was interested to know what you thought, because we did this one together. We did recently How Much of These Hills is Gold by C. Pam Zhang, which was a reinvention of reimagining of the Western. And this is a similar style, I suppose.
It is, isn't it?
It's a historical, not quite the same time, but a historical novel set in a vast open spaces. And that one did that thing where it surprised me. It subverted the cliches. It didn't go exactly where you expected it to go, and it kept me very interested. So I thought that, you know, then you read this and think, you know, it's a bit staid.
Yeah, I had exactly the same thought. Maybe it's because most of the main characters were white men. I don't know.
Well, that's,
as you say,
I think it is, and it's perhaps a disadvantage for Simon the Fiddler that we are reading it in amongst all this stuff that's been happening, that is, it just feels a bit less relevant to read about these white men at the moment. And so I don't want to prejudice the book because of
I think
that.
You already have, Anna.
But I suppose it just had to be really good, you know, to then make me want to care about it.
Yeah.
And that's, as you say, if you don't care about Simon, then why read on, you know? I think just where I'm at the moment, this book wasn't very on point for me.
One of the things that prompted me to do was to listen to the Gettysburg Address by President Lincoln at the time. And that's where, I mean, I didn't realise this, which may make me sound ignorant, but that's where he said, government of the people, by the people, for the people. And I think we all know those words, but I didn't actually know that that's where they'd come from. So that, so I love finding out little things like that.
Yeah, no, it was good for all of those reasons, but unfortunately not one that I connected with.
Yeah, me either.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Never mind. So that was Simon the Fiddler by Paulette Giles. And next up, Amanda, we are reading Is It All Our Worldly Goods?
Yes.
By Irene Nemirovsky, translated by Sandra Smith. And that is perfect timing for August, which is Women in Translation Month.
It's translated from French.
Yes. That's right. So stay tuned for that one. And in the meantime, you can rate or review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And that's really good because it helps people find the podcast. So thank you for that. And you can email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook at Books on the Go. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Amanda?
I'm on Instagram at AmandaLHayes99.
Wonderful. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.